up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you.
I'm in my sunglasses wearing at night era. Thank you.
With a half a tank of cigarettes and a pack of cigarettes, 104, 106 miles to Chicago. I mean, that.
That's such a great movie.
Yeah. And Pete, glad to have you with us too.
Boy, I came up with a ton of Taylor Swift Eras Tour related puns to open this with, but I'm just going to give you one of them. The only blank space I care about is the 3.5 hours of my life I'm never going to get back.
Or the number of Super Bowl titles the Bills have won.
It's have to be a blank space.
Because there's none. Guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. And yes, as Pete has said, and as we have all talked about, apparently, we watched the Taylor Swift Eras Tour concert film. It is, as Pete said, 3.5 hours of, it is literally the start to finish concert that she performs on the Eras Tour. This came out this past summer, fall,
October or something like that.
October, I think it was actually came out October. No, it came out October 13th because there was a horror movie that bumped back a week because they didn't want to open against this.
Right. Wisely so.
Yes. And it was out. Part of it is she released it because she was able. One cool thing is she wanted to make sure that she wasn't considered to be crossing the picket lines for the writers or the actors. And she talked to both unions, and both unions said because of how she did it with her own production company, and she was giving them what. She was giving her production company what the strikers wanted. They said they were okay with it. So at least that's the story I got. Kate, you look like you're not so sure about that story.
No, I think that's okay. Correct.
Okay. So Kate, we're going to start right up. Kate, do you like the Taylor Swift music?
I do. Some of it, most of it. Okay. I do.
Kate, are you a Taylor Swift fan?
I'm indifferent to her. I'm not a fan of her music. I respect her her ability to write songs, but I'm not really a fan of the songs in general. So,
and that's fair. I'm in the same boat. She is a fantastic. She's a good musician, which is rare these days. She is, you know, very powerful. Produces a positive image, positive, all that kind of stuff. I liked some of her early stuff. Some of that I just couldn't help but shaking off, you know, the feelings I had for it. Especially, guys, if you've never seen. Okay, now we know how long a delay Pete is on.
No, I just decided to do that late.
Okay, so as we are watching, as we are reviewing this, though, we're going to review it as a concert movie. How does it do as a concert movie? Not did you like the songs? Did you like this? But how does it work as a concert movie? And Kate, I'll give you a chance to start this one. What the heck? What hit the right notes on this?
So I want to specify a little bit. I do enjoy some of Taylor's stuff. I think she's a brilliant songwriter. I think some of her lyrics are so powerful. I would not consider myself a Swiftie. I had a chance to go to her concert. I didn't end up going because I had other stuff going on, but it wasn't. Yeah. The costumes in this concert were phenomenal. The costumes were so good. The way that they used the set, the projections on the floor and the screen, I thought were really cool. I love that all of the people in the audience had like bracelets that lit up. So it really made the audience, made the crowd like have a really cool effect. I thought
people were just killing their phone batteries.
No, if you looked, they had like bracelets that would light up. Some of her numbers, I mean, I love that she had a live band. I love that she played piano and played guitar. I cannot imagine how good of shape this woman is in, because I walk up a flight of stairs and I get winded. So, I mean, and she sang live for three and a half hours. I do know that part of the reason that she didn't meet Travis Kelce when he came to give her a bracelet is because she doesn't talk to anyone after her shows. She kind of puts herself on vocal rest. And at first I was like, okay. And then watching this, I was like, oh, makes sense. Makes sense, because she is like singing hard for 3.5 hours straight, for days on end. So, but I looked up some of the prices of her costumes. Do you want to guess? Did you look it up, Derek? Did you?
No, I did not. Okay, no. Prices as far as how much they cost her to make or how much they would sell for?
How much they would sell for.
Okay, so that's two different answers. So,
oh, that would be hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably.
Or maybe it was cost to make. It just had a price with it. Anyway. Her most expensive costume was $24,000.
That's probably to make. Yeah.
All of her shoes, or most of her shoes, were Louis Vuitton, which have the iconic red.
You could tell that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And her dancers were also wearing Louis Vuitton shoes, which is wild to me. And I loved that she had so much diversity in her singers and her dancers. Different sizes, different colors, different shapes, different hair. I loved that. I loved that during the song Vigilante, she had men also dancing in heels. I caught that. I thought that was awesome. I love that she gave her hat to Kobe's daughter, because I just love that little tidbit. So overall, I liked it. She played a lot of the songs that I was hoping she would play. Yeah. So, Pete, you go. Sorry, I talked a lot.
That's okay. I was surprised because her poppier, bigger hits tend to sound all the same to me a little bit. And I found that by doing this show the way she did it, by breaking it into like different records, it kind of, every little section had a little bit of a different feel to it. Like at first, like the first couple, I was kind of like, oh, am I going to get really sick of this? And I didn't feel like that. I felt like her, you know, every album had a little different style to it. So it felt like it, I couldn't have watched it all in one sitting, to be quite honest, but I did watch it in two sittings. We did watch it in two sittings. So, you know, I didn't find it hard to listen to in terms of the entertainment value. I agree. Production value, top notch. You know, I loved what they did with the sets and how they changed them for the different eras and everything like that. I thought that was done really well. You know, I think she is very able to, interact with the crowd. She's really skilled at, you know, making it feel like she's getting in touch with the audience. And so she's really, you know, even though there wasn't a lot of talking to the audience in this, there might have been more in the actual, I felt like they tightened this up quite a bit, that there was probably some space that was cut just to keep it like even under 3.5 hours. Yeah, I mean, it was a really I can fully imagine that Taylor Swift fans would go nuts for this because it was a lot of music, a lot of variety. She hit the hits, but still gave them, you know, some deep cuts and everything like that, which if you're a real fan of someone, you want to hear those deep cuts. You know, it's the higher level fans. They're just like, just play the hits. But so I think from that point of view, it was a really successful concert. So, Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, as a concert movie, very well done. Very well done. If I could not have afforded the, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars her tickets were going for.
Try thousands.
Well,
depending on where you were sitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, upper deck of Arrowhead when it's 105. But I'm sorry. No amount of money could have put me in Arrowhead in a 105 degree day to watch a concert. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
Arrowhead's a football stadium in Kansas City for those who aren't aware. So, but as a concert film, very good. I liked that it did include, especially at the beginning, a little of the talking. I'm not actually sure how much talking she would do, because I don't know how she could have pushed it much beyond the actual concert part of it was, I think, just short of 3 hours. And then you had those four songs at the end that made it about 3.5. So,
yeah,
the runtime in the theater was just short of 3 hours. But I liked how, I honestly liked how they didn't show the crowd too much. They focused on her and the show elements.
Yeah.
Because if you show the crowd too much, if I'm watching this because I couldn't make it to, or I want to remember the concert because I couldn't make it to the concert, I want to see her. I want to be looking out there. I don't want to be seeing however many people they showed crying.
I was worried. I'm sorry to interrupt, Derek, but I was worried about that too, that it would be like half the thing would be, and they seemed like they restrained to the point of maybe like one shot per song or something like that.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, totally. And I don't know if you guys watched the credit roll as it was going through, but not only did it showed a lot of the stuff about her fans coming in and going out, coming out, but this was filmed over the, like, I think course of like the first three nights of a 6-night stay in LA. And you could see they actually showed some of the times where stuff didn't go so right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, she's not perfect every night she goes out. Because I'm sorry, in 3.5, giving that many concerts, 3.5 hour concert, you're not going to be perfect every night.
Correct.
So 3.5 hour doing anything constantly, it's hard to be perfect.
Well, and have to say, almost any concert film is shot that way. It's very typical to shoot 2 to 3 nights and then edit that together to make the best of, you know, the performance. So that's not a surprise at all.
I wouldn't even argue Hamilton's a concert film.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point, because it's all music, rapping, talking like that you have to get a perfect shot of it if it's going to be a true representation of it. So, okay, so that's what we liked about it. Now, what couldn't we shake off? And I'm going to start this one off because I can. to start, it was 3.5 hours long. I don't know any artist that I would want to sit and watch a 3.5 hour concert of them straight in my living room. I think it could have, and I understand, again, they wanted to show that that's how long her concerts really are. But if you're not a huge fan, it was a hard watch. And I even had, we were talking about it at my son's baseball game last night, and the mothers who were going to show it to their daughters did not realize it was 3.5 hours long, because that's when I was, oh, so it's not a school night movie. Someone else started at 7 o'clock on a school night. No, that means you're not getting to bed till 10:30. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So
I think it works as a split into two.
It would, but try and tell a
A Swiftie kid.
A Swiftie kid. Yeah. Either gender, but and just about any age from sixth grade to high school that, no, we have to stop in the middle of your favorite artist concert and we're going to watch it more tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. See how well that works. So
that's when you go over to the router and go and pull out the thing. You're like, oh, the internet went down.
So you can stream it on your phone, right? No, anyway. But that was my biggest criticism, was that it was 3.5 hours long. So, Kate?
Yeah, same. And I've seen some really good concerts. But I've got to really, really like you for me to watch. 3.5 hours is a long time. And I don't dislike Taylor Swift. I think some of her songs are really good, but holy mackerel. She also, a lot of her songs, I feel like, start to sound the same.
Uh-huh. Some of them and, do for sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm, and so some of it was kind of hard to like stay, but like a lot of her ballads, like especially from Folklore and Evermore and Midnight's albums, a lot of them just sound the same. I also was kind of a little bit confused why, when they had the acoustic set at the end, why they still played the songs that were already in the movie. I didn't totally understand that. Cause they repeated a couple songs and I was like,
I think
in the one after the credits she's talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, it was just so long. And if you are a diehard Taylor Swift fan, I know we have a question coming up about our favorite concerts. Maybe I can see you loving this. It was just so long, but yeah. What about you, Pete?
See, I'm not going to complain about the length of it because, again, to me, yes, I'm not going to sit and watch a 3.5 hour Taylor Swift thing, but it's on Disney Plus. I can, you know, even as a fan, I can be, I'll watch half of it and then, you know, oh, this is the end of this. I'm not that interested in this particular album. Here's a good stopping point. You know, the way she broke it up. But, you know, so I don't have that as a problem. I would have liked to have seen more wide shots in it. It was a lot of, I realize it's Taylor Swift. And so you're going to spend a lot of time looking at Taylor Swift. But I felt like it was like 80% close to medium shots of her. And then when they would do a wide shot, I'd be like, oh, this is so cool. Why can't I see more of this? Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I get why it's focusing on her, but I would have liked to have a little bit different split of more wide shots of the performance and less just her face or her torso in the view. Derek, it looks like you want to comment.
Well, I was going to say on that, is that because I wonder if they're just using some of the concert footage that would then be shown on the Jumbotron behind, because that Jumbotron behind would have mostly focused on her.
Right. So, right. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, they had a ton of cameras.
That's a potential option anyway.
Yeah. They had a ton of cameras and some of the songs, especially, they had a ton of cuts to different shots. And, you know, I mean, it was really well edited together. I mean, 100%. But from my perspective, like as not a big Taylor Swift fan, I would have liked to seen more of the production. That said, it was a lot of that set of steps in the middle and they got a lot of mileage out of those. to the point I was like, oh, they're on the steps again. Okay. Wow. She walked like, I wanted to put a pedometer on her because she must have walked like she's 28 miles.
Yeah.
Always know? Moving. Yep.
So, but yeah, that was my big, and then I would also say again, I know it's already a 3.5 hour show. At a concert, usually you acknowledge your band a little more with, and my band, you know, I mean, I, I realized she had a really big crew, you know, staff there and everything like that. But I would have liked to have seen a little more of acknowledgement of the musicians and the lead dancers at the very least. At least, I mean, maybe you don't acknowledge every dancer, but like, you know,
we're in just about every shot.
Right. Right. And so I, you know, and maybe you do that by like at the end of certain songs, cause I've seen performers that do that, that have very large, you know, crews going like, oh, and this was, you know, so-and-so on the guitar solo, give him a hand, you know?
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Maybe that was in the show, but I found for someone that portrays herself as a regular person and treats her crew really well, I was kind of annoyed at the end by like the almost insignificance of everybody but her.
Yeah.
So that would, I'll leave it at that. I had a couple other nitpicks, but they're little things. So those were my big ones.
Okay. And to me, the other one I forgot is, as being an era, she's dividing it up into albums, mm-hmm. but it did not seem like there was any rhyme or reason what order she put the albums in. If it's going to be an era's tour, I would love to see go early to now.
I think the reason she didn't do that is because her last few albums have been much mellower, ballad heavy. So I think she was trying to mix up. Okay, here's a mellow set. Here's a high energy set. Here's a mellow set. That's the impression that I got with the order. And then I assumed the last set was because it was their most recent album, which makes sense. You're gonna plug it, but yeah.
I mean, or at least now I understand most of her, most like 99.9% of the people would have known exactly what album which song was off of, although. Maybe not so much anymore with the
Swifties would.
Well, yeah. but with the digital music and stuff. If you're just playing it, you know, Taylor Swift's greatest hits on Spotify, you may not. That's how you've been exposed to it. You may not know exactly which album. It's not like people actually go out and buy the albums anymore. Even CD.
Yeah. I think she's still, there's a few people that still sell albums and I think she's one of them. And like, beyond, I know, have some, you know, younger generation people that I know that like Beyonce, you get the Beyonce album, you get the Taylor Swift album. But no. Yeah, generally you're right. The other thing I was shocked at was, not shocked at so much, but you know, you go on Spotify and they got their top songs and most artists you see, oh, it's got, you know, 100 million plays or 200 million plays. Her top songs were like 15 billion plays. I was like, holy moly. go on there and look her up. And it's like so many plays. It's crazy.
Yeah. Especially her now that she's kind of, can you all hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's kind of a, in my opinion, a business genius, the way that she has re-recorded all of her albums. I mean, the amount of music that she didn't touch in these 3.5 hours is wild. Mm-hmm. So, like she didn't play, oh my goodness, excuse me. She didn't play her very first song, Tim McGraw, which I was hoping she was going to play her very first song. So it's, but the way that she has just ran this tour, the money she has made and the money she has given back to people, the way she's stimulated economy in certain, like it's, she's brilliant when it comes to business. It's really cool to see.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Gonna bring our producer Gina in on this one. And I'm going to ask, what is the best concert you have ever attended? I know some of us may have more exposure to concerts than others, you know, being in
LA,
middle of nowhere. Gina, I'm going to make you start.
Okay. I have a few. No, all right. So,
no, I want best concert.
Oh, God. It's so hard. Okay. I'm just going to start with something. So, I've been to some secret concerts, and those are the best. There's no set list. There's no nothing. I'm not going to say it's the best one I went to, but it was so cool because they just shout out, play this, and then like start playing, and it's like amazing. So that's like, if you can do that for musicianship, you're on the top. I also like when people just play and there's no opening act. So I like that too. But I'm going to go with for best production, best music, best everything, and I don't even like the music, it was Eminem. That was the best show I ever went to in my life. I don't like any of the songs.
I'm so jealous.
But that was the best concert. That guy put on a full ring circus on the stage. There's a full-on Ferris wheel going around. I'm sitting in the third row just because I'm lucky, and it was amazing. He could have spit on me. Like, it was crazy. That was the best show I've ever been to, and that was like 1999, I think.
Oh, prime Eminem years.
Yeah, that was the best show ever in my life. I had to go through all the stuff. I was like, okay, best music, no. But I had to go with production value and music and being on stage and everything Eminem.
Okay, Pete, Eminem, peanut or regular?
Hilarious.
Not a big fan of the peanut.
I'm peanut butter M&M's, but anyway.
Peanut butter M&M's? Okay, that definitely peanut requires hi, Gina.
Yeah.
Kate?
Oh, hands down, Garth Brooks.
Where'd you see him?
Kansas City.
Okay.
When he did his comeback tour.
Was that at the Sprint Center, or was that at Arrowhead?
Yeah. No, it was at the Sprint Center. I always wanted to see Michael Jackson in concert. That clearly didn't happen. I would have loved to see Whitney Houston in concert. No dice. Elton John was good. Michael Bublé was good, but I would see Garth Brooks every single time I possibly could see him. Oh, Celine Dion was also good, but yeah, Garth Brooks, hands down. All right, Pete, you go.
I honestly can't narrow it down to one, but if I'm forced, because I was going to say I got musicianship, showmanship, and a third one would be just experience. But if I got to stick with one, I'll go with musicianship. I saw Paul Simon on the Rhythm of the Saints tour, which was the one after Graceland. So it's probably like 1990, 1991. And he had at least 24 musicians on stage with him. There were four percussionists alone. And like the musicianship that was going on, the quality of, I mean, he played a ton of stuff from Graceland, which is a fantastic album. A lot of his hits. Rhythm of the Saints is actually a really good album too, that never caught on like Graceland did. And so that show just like stuck out really hard in my mind for like the most, from a musician standpoint, just a fantastic, show. Best concert experience. We went to Lilith Fair in the '90s and we had pretty good seats. We got there and they were like, oh, we're filming this for like a television special, and we put a crane in your seats, so you don't have seats. So we can either give you seats kind of towards the back and we'll give you a t-shirt, or we can put you in the front row. Yeah.
That's not even a choice.
Right. It wasn't a choice. And not only were we in the front row, we were front row, literally right in front of it was like Jewel, Sarah McLachlan, Indigo Girls, Sean Colvin. I forget who else, but like, literally like within 10 feet of all these artists right in front of us on stage. And so not my favorite musicians of all time, though I'm a big Indigo Girls fan, but oh my gosh, it was like such an experience to like literally be in the front row for a concert. So that one I had to comment on. And then for performance, I saw Roger Waters do The Wall. Which was just incredible. The show that they did.
Explain to her who that is.
Well, it's Pink Floyd, but like, yeah. Roger Waters eventually left.
Know who that is?
Okay. Well, anyways, for The Wall, they actually it's actually like a 200-foot wide stage and they build a wall during the first half of the show and then they smash it down. But like the first song, they actually crash an airplane into the state. I mean, it's just like so much stuff going on in the show, and it was amazing. And I almost didn't go to that show. It was a kind of a last minute thing. A couple of my friends were going on like, yeah, I'll go. And they had floor seats, and I ended up getting seats that were like off to the side for myself that ended up being a great seat. And yeah, that was a great show. So those for those three, and I could list 10 more concerts that I've been to that were great. But I love live music. So, you know, I felt like I could, even though not a big Taylor Swift fan, I still enjoyed this show. Would I ever go back and watch it again? No, I don't think so. But, you know, that there's not a lot of that you're going to get out of concert films anyways. They're mostly, I mean, unless it's a band that you're a huge, huge fan of, how many times do you watch any concert film really, you know?
I don't know. I've watched Fantasia a ton.
Well, you're a huge, huge fan of.
Yeah, true. You know. Yeah. Love me some Stokowski.
Yeah. So,
for me, being, as I said, middle of Kansas, nowhere, it's Garth Brooks. I've seen him twice. I saw him back in the early to mid 1990s after he'd just done his Hits album. So that's, you know, prime Garth Brooks time. And I saw him with the beer break act of Trisha Yearwood. And yes, she did. It was, he did it. She did all of our hits, like her, like four or five big hits. And then he comes out again. And you can tell what I love about his shows is you can tell even the little, they practice everything, even to the little, you know, the little quips back and forth with the band are rehearsed.
Yeah.
It's all, and because, but that is what makes it such a flowing show, is they know everything they're going to do. And so that's the good entertainers and the good bands do that and don't just perform their music.
Yep.
For musicianship, as I said, I don't go to a lot of concerts, to be perfectly honest, because up until recently, two poor teachers in the household didn't have a lot of extra cash.
Yep.
For pure musicianship and pure true engagement with the audience, I saw used to be the lead guitarist for the Eagles, the guy with the double guitar, REO Speedwagon, and Styx in a concert. Cool. That was, there were maybe 1,000 people in the audience. So that's, and it was, you know, size of a place almost a little bit bigger than the size of a basketball court. It was someplace that's true, that true interaction. I get totally what you were saying about being so close to the performers. It's so great. But for me, best concert, hands down, is probably the Garth Brooks one. So
I'm sorry, Derek. I didn't mean to steal your answer.
No.
Hey. Oh, I get what you're saying, because I'm not a big Garth Brooks fan, but I actually watched one of his concerts, and he's another person that knows how to work a crowd. Mm-hmm. You know,
the thing about Garth Brooks fans is that they know his music so well that all he has to do is play the first chord of Friends in Low Places and everyone loses their mind. Like, all you hear the thunder from the thunder rolls, and people just, it's partly the fans that everybody just sings along to every song.
Couldn't you tell that was happening at the Taylor Swift concert too? Almost every song you could hear 100%. The fans singing.
But I think that like when I saw Michael Bublé in concert, who also, I will say, Michael Bublé's encore was the best encore I've ever seen. Because he took the microphone, he was singing the song "A Song for You," and he made everybody quiet. He put the microphone down on the stage, and then he just sang. And I did see that one in Wichita. But just, there's something about the fans at a Garth Brooks concert that just makes it the whole.
about the fifth song in is your prime number, because they've had that. That's about the time where the pregame, the pre-concert beer has kicked in before they start getting mean. So if you want true musicianship, it's about the fifth song of a Garth Brooks concert. You know?
Yeah.
So, okay. As we always do, guys, this one for me personally is probably one of the hardest ones I have to rate. I'm going to say you need to rate it. Honestly, guys, I'm going to let you have two ratings if you want to on this one. If it's a personal rating and a rating as a movie, as a concert film. Okay. Just because I don't think I can do just one rating on this. Because I think I gotta have two ratings on this. So Kate, let's go once around the horn as a concert film.
God. This is so hard because it's so long. I think it's kind of what we were saying. Like, I think this was a good concert to have filmed. The set, when they had that snake like projected, it's a good concert to have filmed. It is just so long. I'm gonna give it, like, I want to give it a 3 because that concert aspect of it is so good.
Okay, no, again, so this is as a film you're wanting to give it a 3?
I know. I'm going to give it a 2.5.
2.5 as a film. Okay.
I'm going to give it a 3.5 as a concert film. I think I agree. It was too long. But I think as a film, it was shot very well. It captured the moment in history, which is part of what a concert film is about. Right. Personally, from my perspective,
personally, we're gonna come back as a personal. Okay. So, for me as a film, I gotta go 3.5. I almost even want to bump it up to a 4, just because if you are a Taylor Swift fan who wants to watch this concert, you will in no way be disappointed in this, other than the fact that it's too long.
Yeah, I keep thinking about it as a concert fan, though, that if you aren't necessarily a Taylor Swift, that's why I'm trying to take out, I'm trying to take like Swifties. Yeah, 5 stars, right? This is 5 stars, but I'm trying to think of it as you enjoy seeing concerts and you're willing, you know, you like her music enough that you're not going to, you know, if you're a hater and you hate it, you're not going to watch it, but you like concerts, you like listening to different kinds of music. That's where I'm giving it the 3.5.
That'd be about a 3.5. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Here's, hold on a second. I can't say I wouldn't watch a 3.5 Michael Jackson concert. I can't say that I wouldn't, because his showmanship is so masterful.
Okay. And that makes sense why you gave this a 2.5.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
That's a fair rating, Kate.
You're allowed to give a lower rating.
But even Michael Jackson, a 3.5, that is so... I can't even commit to myself for 3.5 hours. Like, that's so much time. Anyway,
sorry. Well, how long do you DJ for?
4 hours, and I'm exhausted after.
There you go. So you do commit to yourself.
4 hours is a lot. 4 hours,
yeah. When you go sit and listen to yourself for 4 hours?
No.
Especially because you're paying the universal prices. I mean, come on.
I can barely take Kate for 39 minutes.
I mean, oh,
it's fine.
Come on. We put up with her for over 3 years. She's fine.
I know. I'm just joking.
You all came to the wedding.
We did.
Yeah, we did. That's come true. To the wedding. Yeah, but it was an open bar. So, you know.
It was.
Okay.
The only reason I went.
A personal rating on the Eras Tour concert.
As a concert?
No. Personal, what did you think of the show?
I'll give it a 3.
Oh, okay.
Well.
So higher is a personal.
Can you bump my other one up to a 3?
Yeah.
I'm going to give them 3s across the board.
Okay. Pete?
As a personal, I have to give it a 2.5 because like three is the point where I like recommend it to people and would go back and possibly watch it. And this I would recommend to people, but I would never go back and watch this unless I was, you know, maybe, showing like one performance or something like that to my daughter. But I'd never, ever sit down. I'm never, ever going to get back together with this movie.
Fair enough.
That was going to be one of my other opening jokes. So 2.5 is, it seems about appropriate on my Pixie Dust scale for my personal rating, but I think as a concert film, I rate it higher.
Okay. And for me, it's a 2 on a personal scale, just because there's some stuff I've given 2.5 recently that I would watch definitely before I would watch this again. So 2 is kind of my, you turn that on, I'm definitely not paying any attention at all. Okay. 2.5, I'll pay attention to the parts of it. But yeah, I never need to see this again. But I didn't hate watching it.
Right. That's what I felt too. It didn't turn me into a Taylor Swift fan. I didn't go to Spotify and then start, I gotta start listening to Taylor Swift.
You off of being a Taylor Swift
fan. Like I had no, to go it didn't, over
it didn't as I said, it didn't bother me to watch it, which was really my low bar for this, was that, I was a little worried that like an hour and a half in I would be like, oh, I gotta keep watching, and it wasn't that. So,
and honestly, it didn't take me that long to be, I gotta keep watching this. So
I will say, I went over to a friend's house to pick up some stuff a couple hours ago, and she had it on and her daughters were listening to it, but it was almost like background music. I could see myself doing maybe something like that.
Just having it
on in the background.
I can see that. So,
yeah, okay. But that doesn't mean it's a good concert film though. That just means it's good music.
Correct. You like the music, right?
Yeah.
So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yeah, Disney Plus news. Just a couple things. The Star Wars Acolyte trailer released a trailer this week and will debut with 2 episodes on June 4th.
I'm excited about this because in reality and what we had been saying all along, and it looks like as long as you know there's a light side and a dark side, you don't need to know anything else.
Right. Yeah, this is 100 years before anything Star Wars. So there is no, I need to know.
There's no backstory you have to know.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah. Except that there are Jedi. That's about it.
Wish is being released on Disney Plus April 3rd.
Yeah. I'm sure, we're
going to watch it. Are we watching it?
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
We will.
Things about it.
I've heard nothing but bad things about it.
Oh no.
I've heard mostly not very good. So we'll see.
We'll see.
I want to watch it just because so I'm sure I would watch it whether we were doing the show or not, but
gotcha.
It's not like yay.
And last but certainly not least, Epcot Becoming, a National Geographic special that talks about the transformation of the park, is coming to the service April 29th. What is the difference between this and an Imagineering story?
Well, because this actually was like announced like 3 minutes before we actually started filming this episode. So in the background, I've been doing a little bit extra. And I'm just going to read it directly from the description. Epcot Becoming showcases the reimagining of Epcot for a new generation. Watch as Walt Disney World Resort teams rise to the challenge of bringing the constantly evolving park into the future, from creating the innovative new coaster to exploring the wonder of water, to culminating with the debut of the next legacy and nighttime spectaculars, Luminous, the Symphony of Us. It's an infomercial for Epcot.
Yeah, and
the Guardians and the Moana and the Luminous.
Yeah, pass.
I'm good.
Yeah, we'll probably watch it. We won't watch it the week it comes out because we've already got other stuff planned. Because that's going to all of a sudden be coming up on May the 4th type stuff. So, but it'll probably go in rotation at some point. July, August, when we don't have much going on.
Well, we don't have much going on.
All right. Next week, with what I believe should be a national holiday coming up next week, next Thursday is opening day for the Major League Baseball season. Oh, come on. Nowhere else can you go and chug beer and not really pay attention, but still understand everything that's going on in the game.
This is true.
We are going to watch the Dennis Quaid movie, The Rookie, about the baseball player who was a teacher in Texas and then ended up going to and actually pitched with the Tampa Bay Rays. So it's a movie. I know I've seen the movie. Pete, I'm assuming you've seen the movie.
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah,
I've seen it a while ago. I've definitely seen
it. Yeah, it was a while because didn't this come out in like the 90s or early '00s?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I figured if we had not had to watch this, then I was probably going to. It came out in 2002. If we had not had to do the Taylor Swift one, I was actually going to try and find some kind of a basketball movie on Disney Plus for the NCAA tournament this year. But and not Air Bud.
No,
Air Bud may make people actually quit this show.
You mean people on the microphone? I'm traveling that week, Dirk.
Yeah, you know, we're not.
I don't know what week it is, but
we're not watching Air Bud. So, guys, if you have suggestions, if any of you really want to watch us. Want to have us watch Air Bud and are willing to be on the show with us to try and defend it, email us or any other suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. We are on all of the podcasting services and YouTube. We come out with a new show every Thursday for Kate, Pete, Gina in the background, Steve, who couldn't be with us. We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.